Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Tonight I want to speak to you for a few moments about removing the impediments for the impossible. God has called his people to walk in the impossible in this hour. Can you say this with me? God's called me to walk in the impossible. You know, the Bible says in the gospel according to Mark, one of the most powerful verses of scripture that Jesus said that he taught to his disciples. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt in your heart, but you believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever things you say. And so many of us, I know everyone in this room believes that. If you do believe it, would you put your hand up? If you believe that you will have whatsoever things you say, amen? And so tonight, for just a few moments, I want to speak to you about removing the impediments to the impossible. An impediment is something that blocks something. An impediment is something that causes something that is ordained to happen. It's an impediment. It stops it. It blocks it. And so there are some impediments to the impossible, not that God makes, but that we allow to happen in our own lives, beloved saints. So removing the impediments of the impossible, one of the removing of the impediments, impediments of the impossible principles of power is that you and I must have right believing, because right believing is the door to receiving the impossible. Some of us don't believe right, and God wants to get our believing right. Whenever we believe what the Word says, we're in right believing. How many of you want to be in agreement with the Word of God? And tonight I want to speak to you just for a moment about how one of the greatest impediments to the impossible is fractured faith. When we allow our faith to go through a time, you know, that breaks our faith, that causes us to begin to doubt. A fracture, beloved saints, is a break. It's usually a break in a bone. And just as a fracture takes place, and there is a sense of something broken, I want you to understand that one of the impediments of the impossible is when we break our faith. And you might say, how does that happen? That is when we stop the momentum of the miraculous. Because we are moving in a sphere right now. We are moving rapidly in the things of the Spirit. And did you know that the lack of faith, or did you know that the impediments that can stop the impossible in our life, including fractured faith, can stop what God is doing? For example, a rocket that is soaring up is moving in a momentum. Anything that is mass material that is moving and it's moving forward, or whichever way it's moving, is moving in a momentum. And so therefore, something that is not moving, that is stationary, something that is just at a standstill, is not in that momentum. And just as we see in the natural, when a rocket takes off and it begins to move in a momentum, even so does our faith have a pace of movement into the miraculous. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. I'm going to show you how when we break that momentum, how we interfere with the things of God. You see, so often it's our carnal mind that stops the movement of the miraculous, because we begin to think logically, just like Peter. When Jesus said, get out of the boat, And he got out of the boat, and the Bible literally says he began to walk on the water. But when his eyes saw the wind boisterous, the Bible says, and he heard the wind boisterous, and he saw the waves, he began to sink. You see, that became, what he saw became an impediment to the impossible. He used his carnal mind instead of walking and continuing to walk. He allowed what he saw to be the new source of what he believed. Are you following me, saints? So therefore, there is a miraculous momentum in the things of God. And so tonight, I want us to look at Judges in the first chapter. And I'm going to show you one of the greatest examples in the Bible of how we can interfere with that miraculous momentum by our lack of faith. Are you with me, saints? Once we start walking in faith, we can't turn back. Touch your neighbor and say, once the momentum of the supernatural begins in your life, don't let your carnal mind block it. Come on. Don't let your carnal mind stop it. Hallelujah. Let us look at the word of the living God. We're going to go, beloved, for just a moment to Judges in chapter 1. But before we go to Judges chapter 1, let me give you a little background on the book of Judges. The book of Judges begins, beloved saints, right after Joshua. And Joshua's legacy is a legacy of victory. He has led a victory campaign throughout the land of Canaan. Nonstop victory. Say it with me, nonstop victory. Say it with me, a miraculous momentum. Hallelujah. Somebody should shout the victory. A miraculous momentum. Now, let me just tell you something about that miraculous momentum. It didn't depend on Joshua's strength. Did you know that when Joshua came into the promised land, he was 80 years old? Turn to your neighbor and say, God's not, doesn't care about my age. Hallelujah. All right, God can do it no matter how old you are. Hallelujah, because it doesn't depend on you. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't depend on you, child. Hallelujah. But Joshua had inherited an anointing. And that anointing was from being the servant of Moses. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, Moses, my servant, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But we need to also understand, looking at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. Moses' servant. And this is very important for us to know, that he was Moses' servant, or it wouldn't have been listed. Because why? From taking care of Moses, the man of God, he was taking care of the word that Moses was speaking. And from all those years of being Moses' servant, as Moses was receiving the revelation of God's word, he became anointed to speak the word of the Lord. Being around the word, being around the word that came from heaven, being around the word that came from fire, being around the word that came from heaven in the form of the tablets. Are you hearing me? He was the one that was near Moses when Moses was receiving the word of the living God. Turn to your neighbor and say, when you hear the word like that, and when you're around an anointing of the word like that, then you have a rhema word in your mouth. Are you hearing me? Tell your neighbor, say, it's time for a rhema anointing. Oh, I hope somebody is hearing me today. Hallelujah. So God did not empower Joshua through his biological age, nor did he empower Joshua based on his military prowess or upon his natural strength, being 80 years old when he came into the land of Canaan. But the secret of Joshua's anointing was the word in his mouth. Are you hearing me? I said the word in his mouth. Put your hands up and say, miracle in my mouth. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. These are the instructions that God gave to Joshua on how he was going to conquer Canaan. This is what brought forth the miraculous momentum of nonstop victory in the land of Canaan. The Bible says that the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Hallelujah, that you may observe to do all that my word and all the Torah which my servant Moses commanded. Turn not from the right nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Hallelujah. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 8, the book of this word will not depart out of your mouth. Are you hearing me? I said the book, the sefer, the book of this Torah or this word will not depart out of your mouth. This was the weapon of war that Joshua used. It was the secret of his anointing. Are you hearing me, saints? Hallelujah. And from the secret of that anointing, he moved forward into a supernatural conquest that had a nonstop miraculous momentum. In 7 years, he conquered Canaan. Nonstop victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, nonstop victory. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. Nonstop victory. That means back-to-back victory. Now, I want you to know there was only one casualty of war in the sense of a place that he failed to take, but the second time he took it. Tell your neighbor, say, if you fall, get back up again and God will give it to you. But whatever you do, don't stop the miraculous momentum. Touch your neighbor and say, whatever you do, don't stop the miraculous momentum. Come on, tell your neighbor, whatever you do, don't stop the miraculous momentum. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, do not let this word depart out of your mouth. Hallelujah. But you will meditate upon it day and night. Now notice in the beginning, he said, the Bible tells us that God gave him his word and that the word would not depart from him and he was to observe to do it, that he might prosper and have good success. But now watch this. Again, God says, you will meditate on it day and night and observe to do all that is written therein, and you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Say this with me. You can make your way prosperous and have good success. All right, now, saints, I want us to understand something. I want us to understand the only casualty of war that Joshua ever had was the casualty of the second city, which was the city of Ai. When he came to Ai, do you know one of two reasons? Number one, the first reason was the man named Achan, who had collected a Babylonish garment. And God said, none of the spoils in this city can belong to anyone. Every spoil in the first fruit city belonged to God. And so the accursed thing, which had a Babylonish garment, Achan took and he brought a fatality to the miraculous momentum that was moving in the spirit. But there was a second issue that is oftentimes overlooked, that caused the fatality of faith and that also caused the miraculous momentum of faith to stop. And that was that the Bible tells us Joshua sent in spies to Ai. And he gave them specific instructions where to spy out the land. Do you know they did not go into the fullness of the country? They did not obey Joshua, and they came back with a haphazard report. They came back and said, we don't need to send all the troops up. We're only going to send up a few thousand because we can take the city. But their assessment was only half of the city because they did not follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? Touch your neighbor and say, be sure to do it exactly the way the Holy Ghost told you to do it. So often we go off and do our own thing. The Holy Spirit will tell us something, or we'll use our carnal mind to say, this doesn't need to be done, or I don't know why that is being said, or that sounds doesn't make sense to me, and I don't think I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to take a shortcut. And that's exactly what they did, and it broke the anointing. Are you hearing me? Because the anointing was for Israel to go in as one to take every city, no matter how small or how large. Are you hearing me? And so half, more than the entire congregation, only 3,000 men went in. And the moment they went in, they were chased by their enemies. They did not win. And they came out in defeat. And Joshua rent his clothes. And the Lord said, why are you renting your clothes? The accursed thing is among you. But also that they did not do it the way the Holy Ghost said, and they thought they could take a shortcut. Are you hearing me? God gives his instructions because it's done through the Spirit and not through the flesh. Are you hearing me? And so therefore, Joshua recaptured the city. He was not about to go down in defeat. He redid it. Touch your neighbor and say, you can redo it and recapture the miraculous momentum again, and not allow your carnal mind to stop it, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. The carnal mind cannot understand how the Spirit of God works, and so often it's our logic and our reason that blocks the anointing and stops the miraculous momentum. Are you hearing me? I want us to see this in full faith. I want us to go for a moment to Judges chapter 1. I want you to say tonight, Holy Spirit, I receive the anointing of the miraculous momentum of the impossible. Set with me, the miraculous momentum of the impossible. And I know we're taping, but we're going to have to retape in a second because I don't have glasses up here. And so I need my glasses. One of my assistants, please bring me some glasses. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Normally I would never do this, but I have to do it. Thank you, sweetie pie. I want to do it the way the Lord says to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're looking at Judges, and we're going to Judges chapter 1. We don't want to break the miraculous momentum, so let's go back, okay? Hallelujah. That's what the anointing is based on. Looking at Judges chapter 1, the Bible says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites and fight first against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up, for I have delivered the land into his hand. Touch your neighbor and say, faith in the past tense. I've already done it. Tell your neighbor, it's already done. Oh, somebody ought to give God the praise. I said the battle is already won. All right. So here we see, the Bible says, hallelujah, the Bible says that the Lord said, Judah will go up, for I've delivered the land into his hand. And Judas said to Simeon, his brother, come up into my lot and begin to fight with me. And so the Bible goes into documented detail as to one victory after another that Judah has, because God said, I've already given the land into your hand. And so in the very first place that Judah went, Judah slew 10,000 men. And we see from verse 3 all the way to verse 19, nonstop victory from city to city to city to city. It's a nonstop victory because God said, I've already given the land into your hand. There's only one thing that broke it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to break the miraculous momentum. See, this is what happens in the anointing also. You'll have a flow, and then the flow gets interrupted by friction in the flow or distraction. That's why when we're under the anointing, we have to stay in the flow. Touch your neighbor and say, stay in the flow. Hallelujah. How many of you want to see miracles happen? Anything can break that anointing. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, we're going forward into an anointing such as we have not experienced before. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody might say, Dr. Corral, don't you think it's about time that you took a break? Nobody wants to take a break more than I do. I'm going to tell you the truth. Nobody in this world wants to take a break more than I want to take a break. It's hard work going from country to country at my age. It's very hard for Papa as well. It's not easy when you get back to have the responsibilities that God has given me. If somebody says, Dr. Corral, you have so much energy, and I'm so, wow, what's your secret? Child of God, in the natural, I really don't. Nobody on this planet knows what I long for. But God has told me I can't right now. And He'll give me the strength that I have to do what God has called me to do at the moment God has said to do it. All He needs is a yielded vessel to accomplish what He wants to do. Are you hearing me? And I know within myself, until the Holy Spirit says, all right, we've accomplished this much in Africa, you can rest for a season. But right now, I know that I know that I know that I know that what is happening is not from man. And I dare not interfere with what the Holy Ghost is doing. Because man isn't doing it. Because if man was doing it, we'd be working at it. All we're doing is pulling in the nets that are so tremendous that we can't keep up with the souls. Are you hearing me? With the revival that's happening in Africa. And the Bible tells us in the book of Judges that Judah had victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory until he came to one place. The Bible tells us, look at verse 19 of Judges chapter 1. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. But he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Now, beloved, I want you to look at this and let's be really reasonable about this. Was it that Judah really couldn't drive out the chariots of iron? Or is it that Judah got exhausted and said, I'm not going to drive out the chariots of iron? Do you see this? Because God gave him 100% victory. And if we go back in the book of Joshua, we will see that the children of Manasseh, when they came up against the chariots of iron, refused to conquer the chariots of iron. But Joshua told them, that territory is your territory. You will go up, and God has made you strong, and you will take the territory, and they conquered it. Are you hearing me? So the question arises, did Joshua, who began this, and did Judah stop the miraculous momentum? And the answer to that is yes, Judah stopped it. At his own decision not to go forward and to take the chariots of iron, that Joshua already said that even a tribe like Manasseh, when Judah was anointed to take the whole country, God said, I've given it to your hand. Look at every city that he's taken. Are you hearing this? But he broke the miraculous momentum. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't break the miraculous momentum. No matter what you do, keep going until the Holy Ghost says stop. Are you hearing me, saints? If you are, say amen. Oh, somebody ought to praise the Lord. And the brethren will get down the pulpit. Thank you so much, beloved Dr. Sherry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, saints. Glory to God. Yes, we bring this forward. We give God glory and we give God praise. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout and say hallelujah. Now I want you to see, beloved saints, that Judah stopped it. And I want to tell you what happened as a result of Judah stopping it. Because the stopping of the miraculous momentum lowered the level of faith. Say it with me. The stopping of the miraculous momentum lowered the level of faith. Say this with me. I want to stay on course with faith. I don't want to lower the level of faith. Come on. Say, I want to keep moving in faith. I don't want to lower the level of faith. You see, they lowered the level of faith because he didn't want to take on the chariots of iron. He was intimidated over the chariots of iron. But you need to say, from faith to faith, and my faith only increases, it doesn't decrease, it increases. Come on, put your hands up and say, he was ready for it, but he chose not to take it. Now, let me go a little further, if I may. May I do that? Yes. All right, do you really want to hear about fatalities of faith? If you do, say amen. Do you really want to hear how to proceed in the miraculous momentum? If you do, the anointing on your life to remove the impediments for the impossible. Now let me tell you the dangers of what Judah did, just so you and I can understand what's really going on here. He lowered the level. He stopped the miraculous momentum. And from that point on, the victories stopped. I said the victories stopped. And the whole culture changed. The children of Israel at that point began to put the Canaanites to the tribute rather than driving them out. I said they began to put the Canaanites to the tribute instead of driving them out and compromise living on a lower level. You might say, well, I'm not compromising. I'm not in the world. You might say, I'm not compromising. I'm still serving God. And this is how we deceive ourselves through works. We think if we still speak in tongues, we're fine. But in reality, God has called us to walk in a level of faith. And once you break into that level, to ever go back from that level to us, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Are you hearing me? For somebody else, it wouldn't have been sin, but for Judah, it was. Because Judah refused to take on those chariots of iron. And because he's the leader, now remember, this is the introduction to the book of Judges. Why is Samuel the prophet, who is the author of the book of Judges, going into this detail? Because the entire book of Judges is all about a culture of compromise. And he's telling us how Israel was overtaken by their enemies in the time of the judges. Are you hearing me? It began with Judah. And Judah's faith that was lowered became the new normal. Touch your neighbor and say, it will never be the new normal for me not to believe God. Touch your neighbor and say, the God I serve still does miracles today. The God that I serve is a miracle working God. Come on. The God that I serve heals the sick. The God that I serve raises the dead. The God that I serve causes food to be multiplied. The God that I serve is a God of the impossible. I don't know about you, but we're not about to lower the level of faith. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Let me just give you some background just so you know what we're speaking about and how the new normal became, we don't need the whole territory. The new normal became, watch this, neither did Manasseh drive them out. Watch this. The children of Benjamin, verse 21, did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. That means that was the portion of land they were given near Judah. And the Bible says, neither did Manasseh, verse 27, drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean. Notice, neither did Ephraim, verse 29, drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher. Are you following me? Touch your neighbor and say, I will not accept the new normal. I believe God's word. I believe the way that Jesus was in the word of God is the same Jesus today. Hallelujah. Are you believing this? Say this with me. The culture can't change it. Say this with me. Social media can't change it. Whatever the local preacher that doesn't believe in the Bible, hallelujah, says can't change it. Are you hearing me? And so it's our objective. We have a responsibility to stay in that miraculous momentum. I want you tonight to have your faith at such a level that no matter what happens to you, the devil's not going to get away with it. Hello? That you are going to live out the fullness of your days. Hallelujah. And you are going to accomplish what God put you on this earth to do. I want you to see a little something. I want you to see a little video. I want to take you back in time. Can I do that? Because one thing in this ministry, if you've been in this ministry long enough, you will know that we study the generation that went before us in a tremendous way. I'm going to show you in a moment Oral Roberts. at the tents. Why does Oral Roberts mean so much? Okay, I'm going to tell you. At the end of Dr. Roberts' life, when he lived in Orange County, lived right here in Newport Beach, not in a big, huge house. It was a very small little house. And he received guests when he just turned into his 90s. Anita, I think you met me there. Help me. When I took some guests there. But I had been there prior to bringing guests. I had the privilege of being in his home with Evelyn when she was still alive. I was so impressed. You know why? Because it was so simple. Just nothing but pictures of his children and grandchildren everywhere. All over his counters, and this recliner that he reclined in with a little blanket over his legs. Prior to Evelyn's death, I used to go over with certain friends of ours that were very close to Evelyn and to Oral. And the Wilkersons would be there. They were the best friends, Dr. Ralph Wilkerson and Oral Roberts and Evelyn. And also Eileen, who was the wife of Dr. Wilkerson. They were the closest of friends. And go over there and they'd have dinner. And Evelyn would make beef, beautiful, nice meal. She made sure it was perfect for Oral in the very small condo that they had near Fashion Island. And I had the privilege many times to be in that place, and it was just an honor to wash the dishes. That's what I wanted to do. And so my friends, the husband sat at the table, and my other friend, we said, let's get all the blessing we can get. I get to wash the dishes of Oral and Evelyn. Praise God. Glory to God. I got to do this. We want the impartation and we want to serve the generals. What an honor to serve the generals. I said, what an honor. And God allowed me to be in that place because I heard some conversations and advice being given. And boy, did I hold on to it, and still holding on to it. Holding on to it for dear life. And the last time we saw Dr. Roberts, my friend said, you have to go before you go to Egypt. And Dr. Roberts needs to lay hands on you before you go to Egypt. And he's going to impart to you the anointing for the pastor's conference in Egypt. So I went there. I knelt down at his feet. He put his hands on me. I can't remember what he said, but behind him, he had this huge picture. And it was the picture of Jesus, but the apostles carrying in the nets and the nets breaking. That was a huge picture, a big, huge net that this picture of the net of the fish that were breaking, coming out of the net. That's all I can remember. That's what took place. So I bring you this clip so that you don't break the miraculous momentum. Go ahead.
Gave me this discerning power. I discerned them by the Spirit of God. person has been demon possessed. This is something I cannot explain. It came to me by the power of God. And I have prayed for thousands upon thousands of these cases. And in many instances, the Lord has set them free and made them whole.
Hallelujah. All right. So I want to tell you why Dr. Roberts was so sensitive to demonic power. Would you like to know? When Dr. Roberts was just a young boy, now they were raised dirt poor because his daddy was a preacher. And in those days, they were just back road preachers. You know, they just lived in just a simple place. His daddy, over the period of time, pastored about 12 churches. But they were very impoverished. And Oral, when he was just a young boy, he was very tall, and he began to play basketball. And one day, when he was on the basketball court, and he was just dribbling the basketball, he passed out. They brought him home, brought him to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You have tuberculosis, and you're not going to live but 3 months." Many of you know that story. So Dr. Roberts had this tuberculosis, and he had it, and he was in bed for 163 days. And they told him, they said, "You have 2 months to live." And some of them, other doctors said, "You have 2 weeks to live." And there came a healing evangelist into one of the cities nearby. And his brother's name was Elmer. And his father said, "Son, I want you to go. I want you to go into the tent. And I want you to hear Brother Muncie preach." And his brother came in a few days later and said, "Come on, Oral, we got to take you." And Oral said, "You know I can't get out of this bed." And his brother said, "I'll dress you." So his brother dressed him, and his daddy and his brother lifted him up and put him in the back seat of the car lying down. And Oral and his brother and his daddy, Oral was in the back seat, and the other two were in the front seat along with the mama. It's before they had those bucket seats. And they came to a healing evangelist by the name of Brother Muncie. When Brother Muncie put his hands on him, Brother Muncie said, "I command the foul demon that has tormented this body to come out of this body." Now, I want you to understand, beloved saints of God, see the miraculous momentum, how we can't break it. We need to keep it going. Are you hearing this? That which came from the last generation, we need to have present in this generation. Are you hearing it? Do you understand how we can't lose what God has already given us in the things of God? Are you with me? If you are, say amen. And so, just so that we can understand, the healing evangelist began to rebuke the spirit off of him. But before, when he was in the back seat of the car, he said he heard the Lord speak to him. And he said it was the first time he ever heard the Lord's voice. And the Lord said, "Oral, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you of your tuberculosis." And he said, "And I'm going to send you to this generation to speak my healing power." You see, we serve a healing Jesus. Somebody ought to say, we serve a healing Jesus. We serve a Jesus who has not changed. I hope you hear this. Hallelujah. And every person that's here tonight, believe in God for your body. You are going to be healed. We're not receiving anything but healing in your body. Are you hearing me, saints? Oh, my heavens. Somebody's being healed in their legs tonight. Hurabasike. And somebody's being healed in the low back. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 5, verse 26, you are going to go to the grave in full age. Do you know what that means? Fully, fully at the time God has called you. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26, I will take away sickness from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Put your hands up and say, I'm not being cut short by sickness. The number of days, because I'm here to serve God. You see, this doesn't work if you're not ready to serve the Lord. But if you're willing to serve God with your body, and if he heals your body, and you know now that your life is not your own, you are ready to serve the Lord. Are you hearing me? Somebody ought to say, the number of my days he's gonna fulfill, and no weapon formed against my body is gonna prosper. Are you hearing this, saints? Somebody ought to give God the glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.